Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where results are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of his word. You will be blessed.
For an ungrateful person, and never allow yourself to be put under any pressure because you want to prove a point. No need. God sees in heaven. God sees. One of the things I want to teach us this evening is gratitude. Learn to appreciate people, especially if they take from what they have to give you. Don't ever think you deserve better because, number one, you did not even work for it. Yourself, I'll be grateful. You see this, you see, I say you should say it many from this side, half backward. Nobody said anything. This gratefulness matter is not to man, it's to God first. Gratefulness to God. Listen, if you are not careful, you will begin to interpret the works of God in your life like a routine. You will remove the supernatural essence of those performances, and you will begin to think it's normal. For example, sleeping and waking up. Somebody gets up now and immediately as he gets up, he say, "Kai, I'm behind time." He has not said thank you. Somebody told me yesterday that sometimes when he wakes up and realizes the situation of things on around his life, he just hisses. Ah, Jesus. And there is somebody in the hospital that cannot breathe. They have used life support to sustain him. He's trying to buy, even though it's one extra day. And that day, when he saw another day, he said, "Lord, thank you that I'm still in the world of the living." Gratitude. It is gratitude that makes for more. You never get more until you are grateful for the little. You know those who see the hand of God? There are those who appreciate his finger. Everybody here, something God has done for you can serve as a seed. You can use that seed to thank him. Some of you is health. You don't know the last time you were in the hospital. Yet, you are so ungrateful. So ungrateful. If men were God, many of us would be dead by now. They'll just look at you and say, "What is your problem?" Gratitude. You don't know how to receive from God, though. You receive from God first by showing appreciation for what he has done. The place is not to bring request first. The skill of receiving is not request. As skilled you are about tabling your request one after the other, as accurate your utterance can be, if it does not come through thanksgiving, you can't even get his audience. It was the Message translation that says, "Enter into his presence with the password, thank you." Password, thank you. There are many of us here, the devil had had over time, over our life, he had been working to bring you to this particular heart posture of ungratefulness, ingratitude. You are not even grateful to God, first of all. How can you then be grateful for the sacrifice of your fellow man? There are people here, if only you can appreciate the little your spouse is doing, that little. When you go home, your first point of contact is what is wrong, what they have not done well. And if you start from a place of commendation, do you know that there is a way you bring criticism and the person feels happy receiving it? "Ah, my dear, this house is so neat. I know you took a lot of time to clean it, but I think you are always omitting this place the television is. Doesn't that sound nice?" What kind of woman is this? Is another human being. He did not see any other thing. All his eyes looking at is the small place where the person did not get it right. my dear, how are you doing it? You take the children to school and now you are back. You have cooked again. Sometimes I am imagining how you must be a superwoman. And then she'll be like this. You come with your boxers, your dirty boxers and your singlet. With all the stress the person is going through, you just come and dump it. And say, I told you to be washing this thing now. It's not Satan that wants to scatter your marriage. It's you. Let's pray for 1 minute. Lord, teach me gratitude. 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 It didn't come with you, so don't pretend like you have it. The flesh does not know how to be grateful. All of these other traits, they are the flavors of the rebellious nature. Ingratitude is one of them. Hallelujah. Some of you, listen to me. After this message, you need to quickly leave here and go and send a text message to your parents. Because at some point, you became so full of yourself, so arrogant. You need to just say, thank you for everything you have done for me. Somebody was blessing you. Somebody was doing best for you. And then suddenly, you now enter into a new heart posture of entitlement. This is not the message. Let's focus on what the Holy Ghost will have us do. The title of our discourse in a night like this is The Cost. The Cost. Please, if you are writing, write The Cost. It's a very powerful teaching. It would open us up to a particular ingredient that is missing from our labors, and God will eventually bring color to everything we intend to build. If you are writing, please write, there is a cost implication for anything glorious. There is a cost implication for anything glorious. Another way to render it is, anything glorious is costly. Anything glorious is costly. Oh, God will bless us today. Luke chapter 14, from verse 28, very quickly. Luke 14, 28. Everybody, it is projected. Let's read together at a count of three. One, two, three, go. For which of you, intending to build a tower, seated not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. We're going to continue reading, but I want us to read this one again. Only you now. Read it slowly. I want you to see some things. Let's go one more time. One, two, go. A quick overview on what we covered last week, and I will not spend too much time doing that. The Bible says in this scripture, Luke 14 from verse 28, it says the first step in the matter of building anything glorious is to sit down. That they said, sit down first. Please tell somebody by your side, sit down first. Hey, please say it like you mean it. Sit down first. They say when you have sat down, what you're sitting down would have afforded you the chance to do is to count the cost. Everything glorious comes at a cost. If you are writing, I want to take something into cognizance quickly also. There is a cost implication for building and for warfare. Please write that down too. I want to show you something. Let's continue our reading. 29. Less happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish. Say, able to finish. So they said, if you did not sit down to count cost, one thing you always have is that you will start many things, but you will never have the capacity to finish anything. Finishing becomes the area of that person's challenge. The person who did not sit down to count the what? Come on, Anakazwa. Are we together? Oh, I know why you are not responding. When the Lord begins to touch sensitive areas of our lives, one of the first responses you get is that people we'll disconnect quickly. Less happily, after he had laid foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him. Mockery becomes the end state of any man who did not follow this hallowed procedure of sitting down first to count the cost. What is the context of this scripture? This scripture was presented, this very teaching was given by Jesus because he saw that it became a popular thing to follow Jesus. Jesus became the latest name in town. Everybody is talking about the new Jewish teacher. Have you stayed under him? My God, that guy's doctrine is not of this world. When he speaks with so much authority. They say, from whence comes him? Everybody is gravitating towards him. When Jesus saw a great mixed multitude following him, he turned and looked at them. And he began to tell them the cost effect of following Jesus. Mind you, I will show you as we read further. You will see that he made it clear that there's nobody that will follow him that will not carry a cross. And the first time the slightest discouragement came, a great chunk of his followers turned back and he looked at the 12 and he says, would you also turn back? You know why? Because men begin many things without having a proper knowledge of what to anticipate. Just in case a motivational speaker came up, had all kinds of well-aligned and arranged words and invited you to the cross, you are most likely not ready for the journey of the cross, because that journey will be full of all kinds of affliction. Some days you will be like a lion on the peak of a mountain. Some days you will be nursing wounds. Wounds of pain. And the Holy Ghost will still tell you, calm down. Calm. You want to defend yourself. They will say, be quiet. Be quiet. Do to me what you want. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. The scripture our brother began to read for us, Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. I like how he opened it. He says the first thing in that scripture to take note of is the Lord. And who is the Lord? He says, the owner. It's like saying, my owner is my shepherd. On the ground of this thing established, then I shall not want. It is the owner that is responsible for what he owns. There are too many rebels trusting God for provision, and you don't belong to him. Every father that is responsible provides for his household. Hey, I love another point he raised. Any day you observe that drought becomes your experience repeatedly, go and check again who is your Lord. It is easy for God to shift and mammon to become your Lord. When you begin to prioritize the pursuit of this world, what you are worshipping as at that particular moment is the God of this world, Mammon. And once he becomes your Lord, there will be a signal, a response, a feedback from the immortal realm to draw your attention back. Your own signature, the secret of your sustenance will be withdrawn for a while so that you will know that there is a flow that has been truncated. It is at that kind of time, a man whose heart is still malleable before God, he will return quickly and cry and say, where did I miss it? What is going on, oh God? If you don't get explanations from God, there's a sweetness of this Christian faith that you are not partaking of. There are days where God will give you explanation and it will sweet you. He will use one dream to show you one mistake you are making. And when you wake up, it's not about tears. Sorry, Lord. I didn't know. It was ignorance. Do to me what you want. Let's continue our reading very quickly. 1, 2, go. Less happily, after he had laid the foundation. Listen, say foundation. Come on, say it very loud. Foundation. Do you realize that every incomplete project that people continue to make reference to and mock those individuals who labored in those kind of enterprise, do you realize that every one of them actually had foundation? The foundation shows your intention. The foundation shows what you were truly hoping to achieve. And when you come and peep at some foundation, you will say, my God, if such things have been spent on only foundation, imagine the structure that will be on it. This is how too many people are being, you know, considered to be most likely going to succeed in a class. You are watching children, watching them growing up, primary, secondary. Even your colleagues are saying, if any of us will be successful, it will be these ones. Because all the signs, all the signatures that makes for an outstanding life, you see it all around them. But all you have, brother, is foundation. And foundation is not enough. Everybody can start. How many people would carry their own self and come to a damsel and say, the Lord told me. While I was praying, the Lord showed me you. I saw myself under the rain and you held an umbrella. On the strength of that encounter, he says, go and pray about it. Well, all the ladies God have brought under this hallowed ground, I want to advise you, don't let any brother send you on prayer enterprise. We'll continue. Continue. Then, you know, many people think they are wasting people's time. They don't know they are wasting their own time. Then you are calling the person every evening. Every evening you are asking whether they have eaten, how was their day. Everything you are doing is suggestive. It's sending a signal like you are interested. Like something is being built. The lady on the other end is saying that, I don't know, he just cannot bring himself to say it, but every other thing is just perfect. If he has not said it, it's not true. Follow me carefully this night. That brother will now spend 2 months, 3 months, then go ghost on you for another 3 or 4 months, then wake up after a strange encounter you don't know why and start calling you again. Hey, I'm giving you a sign. When it happens, not them. If you see that kind of behavior, mark them quickly. He is like a ninja. He gets missing suddenly. You can't trace him. He has several lines. Several lines. 2 MTN, 1 Airtel, 2 Glo. He's the only one that can reach you. You can't reach him. You see yourself that you are the DP, the display picture on his WhatsApp. You say, what kind of love is this? See how he's showing me to the world. Auntie, you are the only one on that WhatsApp. You are the only one that has that number. You know, people who are players, they think they are wasting people's time. One day they now get up from their escapades and say, make I serious now. Hey, then suddenly the courtroom of spirits will meet quickly. They say a rebel is about to take a move. Satan is still an accuser. Quickly he will come and open a scripture and say, Adonai, your word says whatsoever a man so, and you honor your word more than your name. In 1992, there was a judgment you gave that was consistent with the fact that you honored your word more than your name. Even though you didn't like that judgment, you passed it because it was your word. Legalities. Legalities. It's court sessions. Then the brother will now say, this one, ahead, the ground. Eh? And invest all his attention. Suddenly, it will occur to him on an evil day that they saved his name as recharge card. There are too many people pretending like they don't know why they are going through what they are going through. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. And one of the first platforms of genuine deliverance is that you come broken, accepting that you are wrong. Somebody goes jumping from one soothsayer to another, and then their infirmities becomes compounded. And then he comes to church and say, I don't know why I've been praying, God has not answered. And you have opened all kinds of channels. Strange spirits have registered their signatures on your members. You are wasting your own time. Because that time you now say, I want to be serious. There is something you have done. Something that will never be forgotten. Hey, I can see people's face. They are angry. Don't worry, I'll show you a principle you can use. Those of you who are in the habit of being unfaithful, being a cheat, deceiving and supplanting people, change quickly or you will use your life to give people lamentations. You know that kind of gist that when you want to start, you say, my brother. A man, listen, give me your attention. A man that went around, deceiving people, treating people unfairly, having multiple partners, multiple relationships, then thinks that when he's ready, he will find somebody who will be committed to him. Let me tell you first the psychological impact of your labor of the past. A cheat will be suspicious of even a faithful person, because he will believe everybody is like him. There is a rest you will never have. You will always be looking over your back. Always be. It's not insecurity all the time. Sometimes it is the labor of yesterday that you are paying for. And there is a rest. This is why the recommendation is the bed undefiled. Everything God gave concerning us as instruction is for our good. There was nothing God gave just to make him feel better. It is for your own good. You would think you have built your marriage, you have built marriage, that you have made progress, then you will now discover very late, that all you have is foundation. No structure can be built on that faulty ground. Two ignorant people about spirituality met in a club, danced together, went back to the bed of fornication. Then the lady took him, they tried to cover up quickly with a sharp, sharp wedding. And then they come to any money monger, and he does not know them from Adam. And he say, by the power vested upon me by the courts of heaven, I pronounce you husband and wife. Hey, Jesus. And you can see the guy. Every evening he is high. He's walking step. He cannot gather himself. The lady is also all. You know the victim of this arrangement. Somebody said it. After 40 years, they still don't have a structure, because nothing can be built on that faulty foundation. The ground itself is wrong. Marriage is for two adults, not children, not babies. You have not found your own bearing. Two aimless people. Just think, because you have emotion for yourself, and then suddenly you think you can tell the person by your side, foundation. Many times all people have is foundation. This is why no matter how many years you put in that labor, it is a faulty foundation. Nothing can stand on it. You are serving somebody. You are serving. Then you are stealing money. Stealing. And as you are stealing, you are saving it. Then you, in your mind, you think you will use that money you have gathered through the proceeds of iniquity. You want to use it to establish your own. Brother, your work will stop at foundation. It can never rise. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Remember your actions this night. It's not, it cannot work anyhow. There are principles that guard this kingdom. You must align yourself to them. The principles will not shift for you. You must shift for it. Let's finish our reading so that at least we have a context before we take flight quickly. Time is important. All right, let's continue. Verse 30. Everybody, let's read together verse 30 at the count of three. Verse 30, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Here I am in your presence. Oh, do to me what you want. Yeah, I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me
what you are.
They will mock at him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. If you are writing, please write this down. Never commit yourself to anything you don't have proper knowledge about. Never commit yourself to anything you don't have proper knowledge about. You know, the Holy Ghost has been emphasizing some things to us. I will flow with him as he leads us tonight. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8, the Bible says, better is the end of a thing. The end is better than the beginning. Anybody can do anything in the beginning. But the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Listen. If you are with me and you are getting blessed so far, say amen.
Amen.
As we grow older, as we become, you know, older, you will draw a particular inference in life. You will realize a bulk of your pain is in the area of relationship. And by relationship, I'm not talking about, you know, emotional relationship alone. I'm not talking about, you know, marital relationship. I'm talking about that particular expectation that is built on the heart of a person, giving special ground, special room for certain people in their life. When those people that you placed in a high place behave in certain way, the pain is special. Many people can do anything, but some people are not permitted to do it in your life. You hear people say, not you, I trusted you. The issue is that there is a special place that they occupy. A great bulk of your pain will come from relationships, based on the kind of people you allow to occupy certain spaces in your life. Too many people, I told you to write this down. It says, never commit yourself to anything you don't have sufficient knowledge about. Many people are just following the crowd. Anything that is raining, anywhere the left is, they follow everybody, and at the end of the day, their life becomes, you know, a testament of untold pains. Let me show you one illustration. One. Come. Yeah, you come. How? Come. How old are you?
16.
Please celebrate this 16-year-old girl. Stand. Holy Ghost, help me. Mrs. Paulina, come. Please celebrate Miss Paulina. She's a mother of one. Look at these two people. Please, can you face the crowd? There are grounds upon which they are the same. For example, both of them are females. There are grounds upon which you cannot differentiate them. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
But do you know that their differences outrank their similarities? For example, this is a 16-year-old girl. This is a mother of one, still looking glorious. Let's celebrate our sister. Listen, for the sake of this illustration, imagine that Paulina is unmarried and she is ready for marriage. And this is a 16-year-old girl. Come, Abel. Come quickly. Don't waste my time. Come. This brother gets up one day, and say, Lord, the hour has come. The moment is here. And he says, he thinks it's time to settle down. Please, if you are following me, say amen.
Amen.
He then comes with the particular motive that it's time for him to settle down. Then he comes. Come and walk past this lady and come and stand in this one front. Just throw. Watch him. Stand there, face her. Follow me carefully now. How old is this lady? This brother is in a season where he is ready to settle down. He is not a child. He is not looking for a girlfriend. He is looking for a wife. But the place he went to look for the wife is a field that has not matured yet. The chances is that in this field of 16 years, you will never find any wife there. Although they are wives, but they are not ready to be wives yet. All the experience he will have in this field of 16 years is that he will think girls are wicked, girls are unfaithful, girls are not committed, girls are not faithful, girls are always lying. You know why? This 16-year-old girl, she's in an adventurous phase of her life. She is not ready for commitment. She wants to go to school. See, I pity those brothers. I pity those brothers in our midst. You want to settle down. You now went to meet one girl in 100 level. What is your problem? You'll be calling. Hello, where are you? I'm hearing some boy's voice there. Who are the boys? You will die of heart attack. Who is that I saw you snapping with in NYC uniform? The problem here is that please tell somebody by your side, the law of seasons. This person is in a season. This person is in a season. And so if you are looking for a proper decision, you must first discern seasons. Who is in my season? Who is in a season that tallies with mine? Too many people don't know the way to the city. They are laboring, but it's the labor of the foolish. You wake up one day and say, never. Have you seen some people's write-up on their various social media handles? They say, never trust a woman. Where did it come from? An arrogant man that does not understand the laws. Meanwhile, while he is having this bitter and sorrowful experience, there's another sister praying to God and say, Lord, who is the brother? Somebody who would receive you as a king. You know why? All the necessary maturity, that settlement of the emotion, knowing that I am ready to commit myself, she has attained it. It is only in this kind of field you can find a wife. In your journey to look for a spouse, it matters where you are looking. Somebody just saw Brazilian hair, and fake eyelash and nails and something. Say, ha! I like that girl. That is a baby. Her mind is still a child. You are trying to talk with her. She doesn't even know when you have cracked a joke because she's not matured enough to relate with proper humor. You send a text message and she reply with, yeah. She cannot type. She does not know how to spell well. Ha! How about? You see, you are clapping now. You are clapping. And you are the one doing the thing. You are talking about things that makes for progress and purpose. And because of the field they are, they don't blame them. It's your own fault. You went to look for something in the wrong field. The Bible gave a parable of a man that found a treasure in a field. He went to sell all he has to buy that field where there was a treasure. Guess the thing that she will be telling her friends. This guy is very boring. We don't connect. It's so boring. Every day. And that thing she's calling boring is what somebody knows. Ah, Jesus. Brother, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't wait. Sisters. Have you observed that there are myriads of marriages happening this year? Back to back to back to back. This is why the Holy Ghost necessitates that we journey on God corridors like this. He's talking about purpose, about what is she interested to do. What he's trying to look for is to establish value around her life that can ultimately become a point of financial flow. This one is talking about the latest iPhone. That you are discussing about how she can, what skill does she like? She said, have you seen Omotola's new video? He came out yet? What is happening here? Sometimes you need to off your phone and say, what are they do for here? You are dating a baby. You see, and the case is not only for a lady. There are matured ladies too who are ready to take important step. They are dating a baby. One small boy. His boxers is so dirty. Jesus. Somebody that his father is still finding a way to give him money to buy jam. You say it's the love of your life. And you are saying that you want to be settled by the end of this year. Is there a magic that can happen? Many people cannot discern yet. Many people cannot discern yet. There is too much labor that is a foolish labor. And after 7 years of your life wasted on a wrong front, and you say it did not work. Something you could have read the handwriting on the wall from day one. Spread forth your hands to these ones and bless them. Especially my young sister. Bless her. Bless her. Bless them. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you so much. Number two, as regarding the matter of relationship, because I told you a bulk of your pain will come from that particular aspect of your life, your relationships. Please tell the person by your side, compatibility. Say it again like you mean it, compatibility. There are too many red flags we continue to ignore and omit. We think it does not matter, and then it consequently becomes the cause of our biggest pain. Compatibility. On this issue of compatibility, I'm not only going to dwell on, you know, relationship as pertaining marriage, relationship as pertaining courtship. I'm talking about relationship generally. There are people who should have no business being in your cycle because they are not compatible with your burdens. The things that are what is the most prized in your life, they undermine it all the time. The things you are living for, they think it's a joke. Some people, when you leave this meeting this night, go and do an appraisal of your association quickly. It was Apostle Joshua Selman that said, if you can count 5 wise people in your life, you are wrong. They are 6. You are number 6. And if you can count 5 foolish people in your life, you are still wrong. It's not 5, it's 6. You are number 6. Everybody around you, you just see one. One is a joker. Every time he comes, he cracks jokes with the things of the spirit. He mixes the conversation of lust and he tries to copy a tongue. Have you seen people that will see a damsel pass and they will speak in tongues? It's like comedy for them now. Hey, and that is the weapon of our warfare. Those are your friends, your friends. They come and say, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. Hey, the voice of mockery always around you. They are gisting. You came, they now became quiet. You say, no, you not pastor. And how are they still your friend? Compatibility. Compatibility. You take 2 steps forward and your company draws you back. Because this one, it is you that choose them. Nobody is in your life by force. You can choose to let go of relationships. Listen, it's not malice. It's not malice. It's that we are not going to the same place. I cannot be friends with everybody. people that mocked me, people that talked down on me, all kinds of derogatory statements. And then I faced the assignment. I refused to pay attention to what they were saying. Little later, they now turned their back and started saying that, see, somebody that we started together is now forming. Who is forming? It was destiny that separated us. I pursued Jesus. You pursued pleasure. Now you looked and you saw a big gap between two of us. There is a big divide separating us. Even if we hang out, what are we going to gist about? You can't stay around me and I will not talk about Jesus. And small thing, you say, and judge us. They are feeling judged because your prize is not the same thing. Association. You see, on this matter of association, if you deal with it well, you can leave off people. You will be in the flow, in the middle of many quality information. Opportunities will always be around you because your network are people who create opportunity all the time. You will never be without help. There are friends. Mark my words and take this thing, hold it dear to your heart. There are friends that can only be your friend as long as they are doing better than you. The moment anything good happens around your life that gives you a little edge over them, suddenly an attitude begins to well from their inside. That is never a friend. He has never been a friend. Some of you see all these signs and they are still your friend. The few more minutes we have, the Holy Ghost wants me to talk on parenting. There are many marriages the Lord is initiating in our midst, and we must become intentional about securing them. You know, on this matter of the cost, I would have to turn this teaching to a series so that we can truly effectively cover it. I would love to do a teaching on relationship. I would like to do a teaching on courtship, a teaching on marriage, a teaching on family life. I would like to do a teaching on finances. There are too many people whose lifetime saving is wasted because of pride and arrogance. They cannot ask questions. Something you have labored all your years to gather, you dabble into a business you have no proper knowledge of. Suddenly, everything goes down the drain and you use your lifetime to learn one lesson. The arrogance of believing that if you start, they will know that you are different. And you don't know that terrain. There's a first, I will not call the place, there's a first station. Somebody built it recently. While he was building, he thought that the business of selling fuel is about building the first station. He does not know that there is a cabal. There is a connection, a network you must belong to so that you can even have fuel supplied to you in the first place. Let me tell you how it ended. He built it last year, he sold it this year. Because no tanker came to supply that. He will go and queue at the depot. They will say, it's a long queue. You are number 1003. Your tanker is 1003. And before they serve everybody, they say it has finished. So fresh queue. They will take a number again from one. And so a person who had sufficient information came and bought it. Say, let's relieve you of this burden. Because this is how people who entered marriage without sufficient information about what they are. Jesus says, who is it that builds a house that didn't sit down first to count the cost? Somebody say, me and my wife will be wearing anko. I have pictured the way my marriage will be. Oh my God. You know, sometimes when elders who have been married for 30 years are around those jokers talking, when you finish talking, you say, me, my own marriage will be an award-winning marriage. My marriage will not be like that of everybody I'm seeing. God has told me, and those people, they will just be looking at you like this. And if there are two elders, they look at themselves and do like this. One day, you just wake up from sleep and say, I will not do again. They say, see, kingdom ambassador. Kingdom marriage. Every marriage must have its warfare. Because it is two entities that are trying to become one. That process of becoming one is hard. You will need to let go of many things you hold dear so that the unity can be achieved. In marriage, both of you must continue to make compromise for yourself until you strike a point of equilibrium. And in marriage, you will not always win the arguments you are right on. Sometimes for the sake of peace, you will be right and you will accept. Just allow the other person. And the most matured and strongest person in a marriage is the person that always goes for peace. If you are writing, please write this down. Nobody celebrates status in the kingdom. Nobody celebrates status. The crown is for finishers. The crown is for finishers. Nobody celebrates status. The crown is for finishers. Please, for everybody who are standing back at the overflows, we sincerely apologize. We will make proper arrangements. The rain is also coming, so we are trusting God to cover the whole of this space so that we will have a proper, you know, experience when we come for meetings. I also put forward, you know, a call for our partners of the ministry. Please, we would like to cover the overflow space before the rain falls. And so I trust God that as the Lord lays in your heart and as you yield to that burden, God continues to bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I said nobody celebrates status in the kingdom. The crown is for finishers. Finishers. I have already shared with you Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. It says better is the end of 18 than the beginning what? Proverbs chapter 24 verse 27 very quickly. Everybody, wherever you are, I need you to read this one very loud. Proverbs 24:27. 1, 2, go. He says, that thing you want to do, prepare that work first in the field. Please say prototype. You know the way an architect will sketch out what they want to achieve on a paper before they start the real work. The Bible says, prepare your work first in the field. When you are in the field there, look at it, make it fit for yourself. Calculate all what it will take to achieve it. He says, and afterward, after these things are on ground, then you are prepared to build your house. You can't build until you have prepared it in the field. You must make it fit for yourself. Make it fit means it must be in the consideration of how things work with you. Don't go and carry one heavy project that even you don't know how power. Somebody say it's faith. It's faith. Everything in my life has been by faith. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews, by faith. Good, good. Thank God for your faith. Now you have fixed wedding date. By faith. No one error about anything. You are still living with your parent and wedding date is out. Then 2 weeks to wedding, you begin to bully everybody around you. All kinds of call and SMS. And say, you don't know my wedding is coming up. Prepare your work in the field. Somebody called me and said, all the way from Sokoto, say, Apostle, I'm down. I say, you're down? Let's pray. He said, no, sir, it's not prayer. The wedding. Please say the wedding. He said, the wedding is in 5 days' time. So the thing that entered my mind is in my wedding. What do you mean the wedding? Can't you say my wedding? That day, he put it there so that let it be everybody's business. This matter is an urgent matter in the kingdom. The wedding. It is like the supper of the great king is in 5 days' time. And from up to down, sir, there's no response. I have looked up to the hills, he said. The things I hear. I have looked up to the hills. And help is lack in coming. I say, oh boy. Even in your state, you are still very arrogant. Guess what? He has fixed a wedding, fixed a date, fixed a hall, and he has not paid for the hall that he printed on the card. So I said, okay, how can I help you? Tell me what I can do for you. And mind you, I'm stretched. A person, listen to this story now. You say, tell me what I can do for you. A person who is wise, wouldn't they pick something and say, do this one? He started listing a catalogs of problems. If I understand what he's saying is that these are the things you... Sir, I've not paid for the hall. And the hall people are about to give it to another person on that same date. The food, we don't know where it will come from. Sir, the cow we want to use, this. As he's talking, I just put the phone on loudspeak first and say, God, how? This is how you pursue your helpers. Pursue them with bills. Sometimes when somebody bless you, devote time to appreciate them consistently. So that the next time a request is coming, they will perform it with delight. There are people, anytime you see their call, you begin to feel scared. Immediately. What is he about to say again? And like play, he just says, I celebrate you, sir. God bless you, sir. Next thing is, sir, please, it has, there is. Make it fit for yourself in the field. Thereafter, build your house. Very quickly, if you are with me, let's go to Psalm 127, verse 3. The Bible said there that children are a gift from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Please say, children are a gift. Come on, Anakazo. Outside, can you shout, children are a gift? You know, if you consider this matter, it will bring us into a knowledge of what I want to teach very quickly. Time is not on our side, though. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In the light that children are a gift from God, and anything God gives you, you become a steward of that thing. The only thing God will demand from you at the end of time is how you used it. Children are a gift from God, and at the end of the day, the Bible also told us that it is expected in stewardship that a man be found faithful. Parenting is stewardship. If you are writing, please write that down. Parenting is stewardship. Parenting is a service to God, in all honesty. Parenting is stewardship. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Whose responsibility is it to train? It is the parent. Hey, I weep about this particular point now. A club girl who is jumping around from one club to another, and a drunk now rented a room and wore gown, and somebody said that Jesus has honored that marriage and declared them husband and wife. Then they bring offspring into time, and the first formative years of that child, he is learning by observing. Sometimes when I see what parents do to children who are without a will of their own, I fear for the next generation. A small child, they've gone to pierce his ear as a boy, put earring for him. they dye his hair with all kinds of color. A little boy, purple hair, green hair, and you ask the mother, she said, there is a way I have always imagined me and my boy to be dressing. Hey. The story got to me of a particular pastor whose child is a homosexual. His child is homosexual. The boy has a bead. He put a bead on his waist. So the father was tolerating many things. The day the father saw a bead on his waist, he said, "What is not under my roof?" He said, "This kind will not prosper under my roof." And you know, when a person becomes so self-willed that they cannot take your instructions again, since you are an adult, the man said, "Go and live on your own. Then you will not do this under my roof." Hey, as the boy left the house, one careless woman, very careless, who have little children growing up, say, they drove you from home. Come on, because you can imagine what that guy is doing. He likes to make cake with women. He will always be with women, talking with them and doing his hand like this, you understand? So, hey, come, you can be staying in this room. One day she came back from the market and saw her first son, little boy. He had dressed with the garment of a lady, wore a skirt. And he was discussing with the uncle. It became clear to her that she opened the door. She had allowed a strange government to find expression under her roof. And the Bible said, train up a child. Some of us, because of the training we received, my mom was a CEF teacher. The Bible study, the memory verse that we received. See my mom here. Hey, my dad is not the disciplinarian. My mom is the one that handles the cane well. There was a day she flogged me. Something told me that she's not my mother. The pain, I said, no. There's no way. Look at me, everybody. There is only how far you can go from God if you are raised well. From time to time, all of the noise, the voices of destruction will come, but the seed of righteousness has been planted in you already. This is what the next generation are lacking. You just have parents who are never around. Children are being raised by strange voices. DSTV is now their mentor. You don't know the drama waiting ahead. You don't know the drama. I will show you one scripture. In Proverbs chapter 29 verse 17, the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing now, discipline your child and you will have peace. Ignore this thing I'm saying. You will live all your adult years, you will live it in heartache from one challenge to another. Let's run very quickly. Time is not on our side. In the formative years of a child, if you are with me so far, please say amen. A parent is like a farmer that has planted a seed. No farmer plants and goes and sleep. They return to come and check for weed. What is growing alongside this thing I have planted? A parent must continue to look. There is an age where you can trust that from what you have impacted on this child, they can follow the Lord. But there are other age, it requires a keen attention. Be watching. I will show you some tendencies you will be looking out for. If you ignore it, it will grow into stronghold. I will show you some tendencies be looking out for in your child. Have you seen children who as a child, just as a child, they are liars? You are inside the inner room. You saw the boy shake something. You came out and said, "Who did this thing, Junior?" And he said, "It's not me." Hey, no. You stamp it out immediately. You know, many people think that it is this new generation parents. They think that it is a show of love to not strike the child with a rod of correction. In Proverbs chapter 13 verse 24, the Bible says, whoever spares the rod hates the child. You hate him. You hate the person. In Proverbs 22 verse 15, the Bible says, foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. Children, all of them came with different flavors of the Adamic nature. It is your responsibility to be weeding it out when you see it. The child say, I'm not the one. Madam, go and carry that small cane you bought for him. Give me your hand. Don't ever lie to me again. You are at that age, what you are saying is not a lesson. It is the pain that hit their hand that is the lesson. The next time he wants to lie, that pain will reformat his words. Now you cannot tell him the Bible said because he cannot understand. There is one thing he understands. The rod of correction. Even God did not spare the rod from you. He says the rod and the staff, they comfort me. Rod is part of your dealing with God. You remove rod and you kept only staff. That is why we are breeding a generation of rebels. Gluttony, number two. A child will eat, his stomach will become so large. You remove the feeding bottle, he starts shouting. And you know there's no space again. No. See, don't allow him go like that. Don't let him. You see, he does not know. He does not know right and wrong yet. The immortal realm are trusting your wisdom to show him the way he should go. He doesn't know that. You see that gluttony, it will evolve, not for food alone. Eventually, he will never be able to learn moderation. Everything he will do is in an abuse of everything. He will have 100,000 as all he has from head to toe. He will burn it once, spend it all. He's a glutton from birth. He never knows when to stop. Be looking for these things in them. They are weeds. And you will not be the only one to train your child. You must entertain that provision in your heart that people are entitled to correct your child too. Your child does something. Somebody saw it there and tried to correct the matter and spank him small. You come out in foolishness in the presence of the child and begin to argue and shout. If you ever touch my child again, I will do. And Junior, a rebellious Junior, is walking. He now come and stand behind you and hold your skirt. What you have done is that you are raising a rebel. If you touch my child again, this compound will not contain us. And Junior, why did they stamp me? Why did they spank his small bum bum? They saw him stealing something that was not his own. He was carrying it. You came. Nobody should touch my child. Nobody should touch. And you are raising an armed robber. Train up a child in the way he should go. Jesus. If you know what this is, tell the person by your side, programming. It's like you are programming their mind. When the program is installed, the body will execute the condition of that program. You thought? Don't be deceived though. We didn't like Jesus from the beginning. It's discipline that kept us in line. Discipline. Discipline. After some morning devotion, those days, my father will tell us to wait behind. You say, life is like egg. You can be throwing it and catching it. You think you are skillful. That one day it will fall and break. My father made us to fear women. He said the kind of sickness that is, if you do it, your head will just, only you. Hey, he will just tell like this. The moment any girl say hi, for where? The fear. In fact, my dad told us there are sicknesses that don't even have name yet. So you don't. In my local dialect, he calls it Oche. And he doesn't finish that talk. He will just leave it at a point. So you go and just go and continue meditating on this matter. Hi, parents. They will become your fence, your wall. They will raise a standard in your mind. The day Satan comes to present his product, they have planted a seed. This is why they live forever. Any true parent never dies, because their legacy continues in another generation. You raise an armed robber, and they say, where are his parents? Everybody hiding. Say, I will raise a godly generation. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will raise a godly generation. Number three. Lost. Discern this one in your children quickly. These are some particular flavor of weed. I'm just listing. You will see it. Lost. You bought biscuit for your child. He's holding a biscuit. You gave him biscuit or sweet. You are holding him like this. Then he passes and saw another child with the biscuit their own mother gave them. And he lost his own peace. What he has in his hand is no longer good for him. He don't ignore that thing you saw there. It will grow as he grows. Some badly trained children. The other day I was eating somewhere in the airport because I was so late to catch the trip, so I rushed to the airport. But I also didn't want to go to the place, and most likely I'm going straight to the pulpit as my flight is landing. So I decided to eat at the airport, and one uncultured baby came and stayed like this and put his hand and carried the meat. You know, normally as adults he will pretend and say, let him carry it. Please madam, allow him eat. In my mind, I said, you are raising a thief. He's a thief. You see, like this. Carries the meat, and his small mouth, a very small mouth, he put it and was biting it. And I said, Jesus. And she said, I won't call his name. Hey, this boy, you have eye for victims. She didn't spank him. Uncle, sorry. You are raising a thief. That's covetousness there. It's not your own. You must teach children how to draw the line. Some of you are laughing. You are laughing. But you are already creating a problem for another generation. The problem is when you die, you will not be there when the person starts causing problem. You will die and leave the problem you created for innocent people to face. Who raised Anini? In the height of his manifestation, they are gone already. He was busy tormenting the nation. Who raised Shekau? Every criminal that torments people came from somebody. Who raised them? Please tell another person at your side, say pride. You see this one? Look for it in editing. These are the normal inclination of the rebellious nature. It will come like follow come. It is your responsibility to weed it out. A small boy is already proud. You know you have children with anger issues. A little child you gave birth to is not even 2 years yet. He will get angry and begin to roll on the ground and start breaking his toy, his own toy that he likes. Anger supersedes his joy for that toy, and he shatters it in your front, and you look at him. For where? From where? Where did you get this one from? You will draw him to the front of the toy he broke. Flog him there until he learns that when this kind of emotion never come, tame it. One day he will not break a toy, he will break somebody's head. One day anger will make him kill somebody, and the person who did not train him is you. A small boy. They are helpless. It is a wayward generation. I'm sorry to say what I want to say now, but it is the truth. There are people who need to sit down. No, don't marry. Just sit down. Sit down. Calm down. You will cause problem. You will cause serious problem. Go and raise your kind, because you only produce your kind. You are now photocopying your kind. You are problem. Two problem now meet and now raise problem square. the father brings his own faulty mindset, the mother brings her own faulty mindset, and the child becomes a thorn in the flesh to everybody he meets. There are people disturbing every classroom. They are there. The problem is from home. There are people coming home with strange ruler, strange calculator, strange biro. You see more than 30 biro in your child's bag. Come on now, come on. That's a thief there. We would continue next week, huh? Has God blessed us today? Can you bow your heads wherever you are? Listen, I told you from the beginning of this meeting that this is a mountain of encounter. God is about to give people encounters now. I believe in the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. Situations are about to change. And so you will pray for the next 2 minutes. Holy Ghost, move upon my life. Change every undesirable situation. Change everything that causes me pain. Change everything that causes me grievance. Change it by your spirit. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? Lord, help me find the cost. What will it take me to bring a new dimension of priesthood into my space? What is the cost of prosperity? What is the cost of spiritual consistency? Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, hey, hey. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, 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 hey. Yahweh, Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, 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 hey. I release the sound of the heavens, sound of creation. Yahweh is here. I release the sound of the heavens, sound of creation. Yahweh is here. We cry, holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is He. We cry, holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is He. Say Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Speaking, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, many things to give you, but you cannot bear them yet. No capacity. The cost. The cost. Somebody will cry to the Holy Ghost, stretch me. Stretch me. Give me capacity to bear what I'm asking for. Give me capacity to receive what I am asking for. The cost for a glorious destiny. Measure it into me. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah.
nothing changes, if nothing changes, I can see the direction my life is going. I can see the direction. Holy Ghost, intervene. Intervene.
I submit my mind to you. I don't know it all. I don't know it all. Teach me the way I must follow. Open me up to opportunities and help me preserve my honor. Preserve my honor. Preserve my honor. Preserve my honor. I refuse to remain the same. I refuse to continue like this. Some of you, week in, week out, the Holy Ghost continues to bring counsel and you never bring anyone into your life. The words we have heard this night, I walk consciously in them. I will raise a godly generation. I will raise a godly seed. None of my children will bring shame. None of my children will bring dishonor. It's a good time to pray for them. Even if you are not married yet, pray. I will not bring any rebellious child into the world. Yesu masoina, ma wanda zaya raba ni dakai. Yesu masoina, ma wanda zaya raba ni dakai. Yesu masoina, ma wanda zaya raba ni dakai. Yesu masolina
balada
kaza yaraga
masolina matatana masolina matatana masolina
Ligia.
Of Jericho, impossible situations, the things that are impossible with men. He has given us a name that is above every other name, so that at the mention of that name, let every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, is owner. Can somebody shout, Jesus?
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnakazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.